Thanks, Jay. Yes, I think by now you can tell the heavy burden that is on my heart. And that there would be a prevailing shepherding church life and Christian life that would be raised up in the local churches in Northern California, actually in the whole of the Lord's recovery. And you talk about God-ordained way, you talk about fruit-bearing, you talk about vital groups, all these terms that we may have some familiarity with. I think I can tell you all this can coalesce in this matter of shepherding. And in fact, all those are part of the shepherding work. And so, but we need to be delivered, brothers and sisters, from just merely adopting a way or just become, concerned with the methodologies or the techniques or the ways of doing the right thing. What we need to get through first is the heart, is our own condition, is our perspective, is our view about things. And I hope even this very random sharing that I just did the last hour or so, you would at least have glimpses of that. Today, if we mean business to build up the body of Christ, it is not just that you and I would grow in life, or we would be more constituted with the ministry or the word, we would be just faithful, you know, to serve in the church life or come to the meetings and function. All those are absolutely necessary. But this component of shepherding, which really directly touches our service, our work, our labor, is missing. If this component is missing, then, brothers and sisters, we fall short. Even if we are considering about, Lord, the increase of the church, the growth of the church, the propagation of the Lord's recovery, it eventually all comes back down to this, and that is shepherding. Our burden for children, young people, college age, the next generation, the young adults, on and on. All those burdens, how will they be fulfilled if we do not have shepherding, or if we don't have more saints doing this work of shepherding? I said already before that, yes, we need the matured and the full-grown ones, for sure. We need the fathers in the church life that can shepherd the young men. But we also need the young men who could shepherd the little children. You see? So it's not a matter of how mature you are. Of course, we're all striving for that, but it's not. It's how much of a heart you have. It's how large is your heart. It's how big is your heart. It's how much we love people and how much we care for those that God cares for. It's how much that we would care to lift up our eyes from ourselves to see the needs of others. And we go and reach out. not sitting there waiting for others to come to us, but we go to contact them, reach out to them, to care for them, to cherish them and nourish them. These things we will cover more in the next series about a lot of practical points. But those practical points wouldn't mean much if we don't have a burden. We don't have a heart. I think the case can be made that between a burden and the skill set, I would rather see a saint with a heart than with a full skill set. You know, you can be not the perfect mom, but you are a good mom, and you are a mom just because you have a kid. You have children. You couldn't write a book on motherhood. You're not a professor in whatever. You're not a child psychologist. But you're a mom, and you have some kids with you. And so that's it. That's it. You're a mother. You have a few sheep and lambs. You're a shepherd. You may not be the best, you may not be the most knowledgeable or the most efficient or whatever. But this is hardly a profession, brothers and sisters. This is, you know, shepherding is not a doctrine. It's not a truth. Shepherding is even not a practice, strictly speaking. Shepherding is a heart. Shepherding is a life and a living. And so the need in all the churches is to build this up. I hope all the co-workers and leading brothers and full-timers would join together in this endeavor to build up local churches whose characteristic, the greatest, strongest characteristic, is, in terms of the church practice, is shepherding. So when people come to your church or visit your church, they smell it, they taste it, they touch it, they feel it. It's in the atmosphere. It's in the hearts. Then we're going somewhere. This is not easy. This is not easy, but the Lord must get this today. Now, if in a local church, there's 1/3 of the saints who would actively, regularly, do this shepherding work, that will change the church, the complexion of the church, the temperature of the church, the atmosphere of the church, the impact, I use the word, the impact of that church. Dear saints, we have a lot of truth, and we all have heard a lot of messages. We're not short of that. Well, we can always have more, but really, we're not short of that. We're short of this. How many people have even never heard of what we heard of? Who is going to them? How many who have known something but not enough to go and teach them? You know, teaching and shepherding eventually are related in Ephesians. So this shepherding is a all-inclusive work of the church. And it is the central service of a follower of the Lord, of a Christian, a lover of Christ. And I can say this strongly because Brother Lee just kept speaking this into us in the last years of his life. So if in the U.S., all the churches are just filled with saints shepherding mutually, and then all the saints in the church life, and then the heart for sinners, just shepherding, just caring for people, just concerned with others' welfare and well-being. Things will be different. There will be a revival. There will be a revival. And the thing is, we all can do it if we will do it. No one is shut out from this. No one is unqualified to this. How about just think about one unbeliever, young saint, okay? High school or junior high or college age. One backslidden saint. You're still related to him. They're not in the church life and so on. And one saint that you just have a burden for, not backslidden necessarily, but you just have a burden for this one to grow, to advance, to serve the Lord more in his church life and whatever. I mean, just find one of each. Right there, you have four or five candidates, right? Potential ones that you have a burden to care for. In this matter, Brother Lee told us, don't wait for the Lord to give you a name. Well, the Lord will give you a name. The Lord will burden us, okay? So we need to be open. But it's almost like it's not the Lord giving you a name, but us giving him a name. You follow me? You got burdened for so-and-so so much that you start bringing to the Lord, and the Lord has no way but to join you in your shepherding work, rather than him trying to get us to join him, which is how things should start. But as we are taking action, it's us bringing a need to the Lord and not our own needs anymore. We pray too much for ourselves and our own needs. So many people have needs that no one is praying for because they couldn't even pray for themselves. So this leads me, saints, to my fellowship, 20 minutes on prayer. And of course, I'm not here talking about the general kind of prayer. There are many kinds of prayer, okay? But typically, I would say that two. Number one is prayer for fellowship. You know, we pray to the Lord so that we fellowship with him. Prayer is the way that we abide in the Lord. It's the way that we enjoy the Lord, and we spend time in the Lord's presence through prayer. So this is one kind of prayer. But the kind of prayer that I'm talking about here is not that. Now, even this first kind of prayer is the prayer that you have to deal with the Lord in those kind of prayer. You have to have those conversations, that threefold conversations at the Sea of Tiberias with the Lord. That's the first kind of prayer, dealings, the Lord shining, our opening up to him, our just laying everything before him, our consecration to him, our letting him to have his way to speak to us and to touch us and so on and so forth. You know, I gave the word on the heart in Dallas, right? This working of the Lord in our heart is a big part, even in this matter of shepherding. Lord, give me a shepherd's heart. Lord, imprint your heart, etch your heart, engrave your heart in me. Renew in me a heart of flesh. Lord, a heart that cares for people. So this is the kind of fellowship we need, and we need this kind of prayer. But what I'm trying to emphasize today is not that, but it's this, the other kind of prayer, which we call intercessory prayers or prayers of intercession. Intercession and the first kind of prayer is different. Intercession is when you are not praying concerning yourself or about yourself, your needs and your conditions. No. Intercession is when you pray for others. You pray on their behalf to the Lord. You pray for their needs. You pray for their condition. The word is actually intervention. You pray to intervene on others' situation on their behalf because they don't know how to pray. They're not in any condition to pray to the Lord. You pray for them. Okay? And that means all prayers that is not about you is a form of intercession. Praying for the gospel, for sinners, that's intercessory prayer. Pray for a young one who's struggling in the church, that's intercessory prayer. Pray for some saint who is sick, who's not doing well, who needs encouragement, that is. To pray for, one of Paul's co-workers in Colossians who struggle for the Colossians, for their perfecting, for their growth. That's intercession. All right. Paul, my goodness, almost in every epistle he wrote, oh, I thank my God continually on your behalf, always remembering you, always praying for you. Isn't that Paul? I mean, Paul today have no Zoom. Paul cannot drive to another city. I mean, he sees people just a few times in their life, but he could pray, and he spent a lot of time in prison. And in prison, I think he did two things. Number one, he wrote those marvelous epistles without which there's no New Testament, at least not the heart. But he also prayed in prison. He prayed. And that, you can make a point that those intercessory prayers are more powerful than his personal in-person visits, in a way. So now let's talk about intercessory prayer related to shepherding. I would like to say, on the one hand, we need to go to the Lord, to deal with the Lord, to receive this shepherd's heart, this shepherd's burden, this shepherding charge and commission from the Lord personally. We also need to start over here. You don't wait. As much as you have dealt with the Lord, you go and what? And start to look for ones you can pray for. Even before you contact the person. You know, sometimes we contact people prematurely. You have never even prayed. It's just, oh, okay, I need to talk to someone. Well, that's okay, but that's not the way to start. The serious and solid way to start is that you start praying. So you're with the Lord and the Lord touch you, you know, the Lord gives you a heart. And then I'll tell you, if you remain with the Lord some more, you don't leave the Lord's presence so quickly. And you will start praying, Lord, who do you want me to be burdened for? Who do you want me to love and care for? Who do you want me right now, in these days, to take care of on your behalf as a little shepherd of yours? You care for him. You care for this one. But you need someone on the earth that will cooperate with you to practically carry out that shepherding. Lord, I'm your member. I'm I'm a co-shepherd with you. We are co-workers with God, am I right? So we are co-shepherds with Christ. We are partners with him. We are the Lord's companions. You know, the Lord says, the lover says, where are your companions? Where's the sheep? The Lord says, follow the footsteps of the flock. The Lord says, shepherd your goats in the shepherd's tents. On the one hand, we're all sheep that needs to follow the flock that needs the Lord shepherding. On the other hand, we are also shepherds. We are sheep shepherds. We have to open our homes. We have to open our hearts. We have to open everything to care for the Lord's sheep. Okay. So the Lord will put names in your heart. The Lord will bring to mind certain ones. Maybe they're already there. It's just that you forgot about them. The Lord will do that. The Lord is very real in this matter when it comes to people. Very practical, not just people. So-and-so, this person, that person. It could be some that the Lord have been actually trying to get your attention to care for them, but you didn't. So the Lord is speaking to you about the same person again. And these are not necessarily persons with problems, you know. Shepherding is not solving problems, brothers and sisters. There is that part. But please do not think, oh, that person is shepherding because he has problems. No. That person that is doing great needs shepherding. Do you follow me? They need a certain kind of feeding. They should need a certain kind of care, cherishing and nourishing. So the Lord would put names, the Lord would put faces, the Lord would put maybe some cases a family, you know, a couple in your heart. And you don't go just, okay, pick up the phone and call. Well, I mean, nothing wrong with that, just to see how they're doing as a starter. But I would like to say the first thing, join the chief shepherd in his intercession, in his intercessory ministry first. After the Lord put some persons and names in your heart, or you picked up some, you saw some, you become aware of some needs, you have a burden. Either way, and it could be a combination of both. Now, I would like to charge all of us to do something that is very difficult to do, I find. And that is to pray for them. Some of us may have start with one name. Some may have two. Some may have five. Some may have 10. I don't know. But however many names you have, write them down. Write them down. Or put it in your phone so that you can get to it easily. And I would like to say, start to build up this habit of praying for them daily. Daily. Not every other day, but daily. You know, some of the mother parents, you have children, right? Or grandparents, you have grandkids, you're a burden for them. You just automatically pray for them, am I right? You pray for them all the time. You pray for them every day because you have a burden. It's not a job. It's not a demand. It's a burden. You're pressed to do so, and you cannot not pray for them. You feel something's wrong if you don't. So, dear saints, start with prayer. Now, once you start praying for people, you'll find we're not used to praying for people. We don't even know how to pray for people. I really mean it. You, for example, you don't know their real situation. You don't know their genuine need. You don't. But you still can pray. And you can become a skillful prayer just by little, what little you know or what observation you have. And you know what? You just pray. And that prayer gives the Lord a way to pray. You know, that golden incense altar, we covered this during the pandemic, is simply the interceding Christ. That golden incense altar is the interceding Christ. Now now I'm starting to maybe wrongly interpret the Bible. You know, that golden incense altar is situated between the Holy of Holies and the holy place, right? It's a bridge. It's a passage. So the praying Christ, the interceding Christ, of whom we have now become a part. We are part of that interceding Christ now, as the corporate Christ, aren't we? Aren't we his members? So his prayer is our prayer, and our prayer is his prayer. And in our praying, interceding for so-and-so, the intercessor, the unique intercessor, that is Christ, will transmit his burden and his feeling into your spirit so that you would know how to pray. The best prayer is not our prayer. The best prayer is Christ praying in us to the Christ above. And as we are with the Lord, opening our whole being, even opening our prayer, not for ourselves, but for others, just opening that door, opening that room, opening up that space of prayer for other people, the Lord will rush in. The Lord will come in. The Lord will speak to us. The Lord will give us words. Look, in Romans 8, he is at the right hand interceding. And in the same chapter, he is what? Interceding through the Spirit. Because he knows the mind of the Spirit. And so he would pray in us. That's why I say today his intercessory ministry is, or shepherding ministry is, both in ascension and in our spirit. On the throne, above, and on the throne in our spirit, which two places are connected. So as he's praying, he is transmitting his prayer through himself as the heavenly ladder into our spirit, giving us the sensation, the feeling, sometimes even the words and expressions. And in this kind of prayer, we become so one with the Lord in the heavens and in our spirit, they're conjoined, and we start to pray from our spirit. And that prayer that we express, that Christ is praying in the heavens and then transmitted into our spirit, in our spirit, will be prayed by us, or through us, through our mouth, am I right? Through our mind, through our heart, because all these inward parts are engaged and involved when we pray. We don't just pray with our spirit, we pray in spirit, but our heart is involved, our mind, our feeling is involved. And the Lord will transmit certain burden within you. And even you at the beginning may not know how to decipher that, but eventually later on you realize, my, where did that come from? That came from the Lord who knows all things. It's about time, dear saints, for us to enter into a much deeper dimension of intercessory prayer in the local churches. We're not good at this. We're not experts at this. Our prayer is weak in this direction or this regard. I hope we all become intercessors on behalf of people. And because you're so burdened, the Lord transmit his feeling, his heart, his inward parts to us, to our inward parts, to our mind, to our spirit. And then out of that, we express in prayer. No one can pray like you can for this person because they're not burdened for this person. The Lord will only commission you with a certain one or charge you with a certain one because you are ready and open to pick up this person. And so he gives you the prayer, the corresponding prayer to pray for this person, and you pray. No, you pray a prayer that no one knows how to pray for this person specifically. And this is what makes shepherding very personal. And then as you pray, trust me, the Lord will work in the environment. The Lord will start answering his own prayer through you by working in the environment and heart of this person. Certain things will happen. That is a surprise. This person may even one day call you up. You say, where did that come from? We experience this. Or you somehow, not really by accident, but by sovereignty, you run into this person. You cross path with this person. Then you are more even affirmed. The Lord is in this. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. Dear saints, I'm running out of time here. Start this, to do this. Write those names down. You know, sometimes the Lord gave you seem like you have a lot of names. That's okay. Write them down. And amongst the names, you would ask the Lord, Lord, which one should I start? Where should I start? Don't go by your thought. Don't go by your opinion. Open to the Lord. The Lord will lead you. Do you know, brothers and sisters, to become a shepherd calls us to know the Lord and his will and his heart. If you don't care for people, you will never learn these things. You just know you. You don't know how to care for people. You don't know how to care for the church. You know, this tonight I'm going to Korea, the country, Korea. If the Lord would lead you, please pray for a few days about certain matters, very important matters. I won't know what to do. What do I know about Korea? The only way is for me to contact the throne, the Lord. Of course, I need to study the situation, just like we need to study people. And we will get into these things later on. All kinds of people we need to study. We need to know how to care for people and shepherd others. I do. I have to do my research. I have to have my observation. But I have to mingle that with my prayers in the Lord's presence to know his heart, his timing, his feeling, his ways, in how I should face the situation when I go there. So that my going there is not just to do a job, my going there is to shepherd that situation. Now, I'm not here asking us to shepherd churches or continents or whatever. I am saying that if each one of us will shepherd a few, in our neighborhood, right? In our little Jerusalem, our little universe, in the church life and outside. Cumulatively, you add it all up. My, this will be the Lord shepherding a lot of people through us. So I just stop here. It's top of the hour. Please, brothers and sisters, don't wait. Put this into practice. And you will learn by doing. I mentioned, I come back to the beginning. It's while we do things, the Lord would perfect us and train us for the next age and for eternity. But today, there's a great need. May the Lord thrust us all out in this way.